You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12s. This is Corbin Smith, host of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. Happy Blue Friday to all of you, and thanks for listening in. My colleague Rob Rang will be joining later on the show. As always, looking forward to him sharing his expertise as we gear up for Seattle's Week 3 matchup against New Orleans. Kicking off today's podcast, I'll have the latest on Seattle's final injury report, including some positive updates on two key players who have yet to suit up this season. In the second quarter, Rob and I will break down five key matchups worth watching in Sunday's game at CenturyLink Field. And then we'll wrap up this week with our annual Locked On Seahawks game plan. What do the Seahawks need to accomplish to beat the Saints? Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. Final injury reports were revealed here on Friday. The Seahawks should have several players back in the lineup for Sunday's game, and a couple of these guys will be making their 2019 debuts, including defensive end Ziggy Ansa and receiver David Moore. Ansa, fans have been anxious to see on the field wearing a Seahawks uniform for the first time, and they've been cautious with him coming back from his offseason shoulder surgery. He was held out the first two regular season games when he was listed as questionable for both games. They chose to have him inactive. They were being cautionary. Mainly, they were looking at the long game. They looked at this as a marathon and not a sprint. They wanted Ansa, when he returned, to be ready to play for the rest of the season, hopefully, and he can make it contribution. Make an impact the rest of this season, rushing quarterbacks off the edge. Going to be able to team him up with Jadeveon Clowney now, LJ Collier, and Quentin Jefferson, a number of guys that they have put on this defensive line now that should be pretty darn deep if all these guys can stay healthy in the long run. As for David Moore, he's missed the first couple games with a broken humerus bone, and he's been out since mid-August and making a fairly quick turnaround, a quick recovery from that injury. He's been practicing in limited form the last couple weeks, but they weren't going to make him a full participant until the bone was healed and he was cleared to return. Now he was able to do that this week, so this is a big week for the Seahawks to get him back against a Saints team that I believe will put some points on the scoreboard. So having another quality receiver that can play both on the outside and in the slot, that's a big addition for Russell Wilson, having him back in the lineup. DJ Fluker up front, he's been nursing a sprained ankle that he suffered against the Steelers last week. He did return late in the game to finish that game for the Seahawks. He was out on Wednesday. He returned for Thursday's practice and looks to be good to go. Not even listed on the injury report. Neither is Puna Ford, who missed last week's game with a calf strain. He's been limited at practice this week, but all systems are a go. Appears he's going to be ready to go and return to action for the Seahawks. Some big news for the Seahawks as far as players not on the injury list. Reserve center Joey Hunt, he's been out for close to a month with a high ankle sprain. He is not listed on the final injury report. He's been limited this week, but should be good to go. And I'll talk in a moment why that's a big deal. Quentin Jefferson, he's been nursing a hip injury. Did play last week, even though he was limited for a couple practices, was limited again this week. But it looks like they're just being cautious with him. He should be ready to play, is not on the injury list. And neither is Jerron Brown, who was limited with a toe issue the last couple days. Sounds like he's going to be good to go, ready to play in this game as well. The Seahawks only have four players listed as questionable or doubtful. The two players that are listed as questionable against the Saints: safety Tedrick Thompson, he missed last week's game with a hamstring injury. He was limited at practice on Thursday, but that's encouraging. Maybe that means he'll be able to at least contribute on special teams for the Seahawks against the Saints. They may be cautious here with Lano Hill ready to take over and start his second straight game at safety, and maybe they'll hold him out for one more week before bringing him back for the Cardinals game on the road in Week 4. And maybe the biggest injury that the Seahawks have to be worried about going into this game: starting cornerback Trey Flowers. He suffered an ankle injury apparently during practice on Wednesday. He was a full participant on Wednesday. He was limited on Thursday, and now he's listed as questionable. The Seahawks don't have much depth at the corner position. If he's out, Akeem King or Jamar Taylor is going to have to play on the outside. I would suspect King is probably the favorite to do that, bigger-bodied corner that has played some snaps on the outside for the Seahawks. But either way, both those guys would be on the field because the other player would be playing the slot corner position, maybe Ugo Amadi getting some reps there as well. But the Seahawks don't have a ton of depth behind Trey Flowers and Shaquille Griffin, especially with Nico Thorpe, who's listed as doubtful, still out dealing with a hamstring injury. I would be stunned if Nico Thorpe plays in this football game. He's been sidelined the last couple weeks, did not practice at all. Looks like he's going to need at least another week to be able to get back on the field. So that cuts into that depth at corner significantly. If Trey Flowers is not ready to go, even with Drew Brees not playing for the Saints, they've got a ton of offensive firepower, a lot of weapons on the outside, and Teddy Bridgewater is a capable quarterback. That could be an area that the Saints try to exploit with Akeem King and Jamar Taylor playing on the outside. The other notable doubtful distinction for the Seahawks, Ethan Posick dealing with a neck issue, has not practiced at all this week. It's good that DJ Fluker and Joey Hunt look ready to go, because Posick is unlikely to be active for this football game. And Pete Carroll said earlier today on Cairo Radio that he was a little bit concerned about this neck situation. So this might be something to monitor beyond this week. Initial reports indicated it was a minor injury and he'd have a good chance to play, but they're being cautious here, or the injury is a little more significant than they originally anticipated. Very unlikely he's going to play in the game, but he is listed as doubtful. Can't find a workout that keeps you engaged? Peloton is an immersive cardio experience with real-time features that will always keep you coming back. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED to get started. Coming up after the break, Rob Rang will be joining me to examine five key matchups to watch in Sunday's contest at CenturyLink Field. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or keep walking? Of course you take the money. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's why I go to MyBookie. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. Did you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter what you bet or how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Welcome back, 12s. This is the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I'm your host, Corbin Smith, and jumping on board late, Rob Rang received a targeting penalty, so he had to sit out the first quarter, but he's back in the lineup now.
Back in the lineup, I appreciate it. Thanks, Coach, for putting me back onto the field. Let's go get a W.
Yeah, we're going to devise our game plan in the third quarter, but first, heading into Seattle's Week 3 battle here with New Orleans, let's discuss some of the must-see matchups in this game. Obviously, we won't get to see Wilson versus Breeze and playing a chess match, but still a ton of talent on both sides that'll be on display at CenturyLink Field. Let's get started with you, Rob. The first matchup that you're really going to be watching closely in this game.
Well, I think that one of the matchups that is absolutely critical is that Seattle's defensive backs against New Orleans receivers. And I certainly understand why people are going to be focusing in on the Pro Bowler, Michael Thomas, a spectacular talent. But I'm more specifically concerned about Ted Ginn. We saw what John Ross, another speedster, was able to do to Seattle in the opening game. I talked about it against Seattle's matchup in the Pittsburgh Steelers, how that they didn't have quite the speed like Antonio Brown, but that rookie Deontay Johnson, I was a little concerned about him. We've seen that when Seattle is beaten over the top and maybe has struggled a little bit in tackling in the open field, those speedsters can get the big chunk plays. And so I am very curious to see whether it be Trey Flowers, whether it be Shaquille Griffin, very curious to see how Seattle is able to manage Ted Ginn and some of New Orleans' other playmaking receivers besides just Michael Thomas. I think that's going to be a critical matchup to watch.
Ginn's a player that's killed the Seahawks in the past. Even when the Legion of Boom was still roaming in the backfield, he's played for the Panthers, he's played for the Cardinals. I mean, he had some great plays in Arizona against the Seahawks, so they're familiar with him, and he certainly still has blazing speed on the outside. Could be a player to keep a very close eye on against Griffin and Flowers in this football game. I'm going to go with the obvious for my first matchup here, specifically Jermaine Ifedi going against Cam Jordan, Marcus Davenport, and Hendrickson. Those three have been just just assaulting quarterbacks these first 2 weeks. They've got 9 sacks up front so far, best in the NFL. So they know how to get pressure off the edge. Cam Jordan, one of the most, I think he's still an underrated defensive end in this league. A guy that can do it all. Can stuff the run, a really good pass rusher. Really has come into his own the last several seasons. Had kind of a slow start to his NFL career, but Jermaine Ifedi is going to have his hands full. And even Duane Brown. Brown's going to have a tough task going against those guys. Whoever's lined up across from him. Davenport is starting to show some signs of life now, and why the Saints traded so many picks away to move up to get him 2 years ago. So I specifically will be watching Ifedi, though. He's under the microscope anyway, especially with the penalty issues that he's had. But certainly that is going to be a matchup to watch. If he's unable to hold up in pass pro, going to be really tough for the Seahawks to get much done offensively.
No, I think that's an excellent point. And I would argue that another matchup to really key on, you know, is when Seattle is going after the quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. We know what kind of quarterback that Drew Brees is. The New Orleans Saints have done a spectacular job, especially at the tackle positions. With Teron Armstead and then Ryan Ramczyk as their starting tackles. Ramczyk in particular, former first-round pick that wound up shutting down former NFL Defensive Player of the Year, J.J. Watt, in the opener in a game that was very impressive for him. And so if Seattle is able to get Ziggy Ansah in this game and against Jadeveon Clowney and all that, there's going to be so much buzz, so much excitement about is Seattle going to be able to get that pass rush. I don't know that Seattle is going to have a lot of success with their outside pass rushers. So kind of similar how I was mentioning before with the wide receiver position, how I wonder if maybe Ted Ginn is the guy, the receiver, that the Seahawks fans should be kind of focusing on a little bit, not just Michael Thomas. For Seattle's pass rush, I don't know that so much is going to be the outside guys clowning, answering, get all the attention. If Puna Ford is back, whether it be, or if it's Quentin Jefferson, going up against the 6'7", 330-pound left guard Andrew Speet, and then the rookie Eric McCoy, I think that is something that Seattle is going to try and take advantage of. Wouldn't even be surprised to see some aggressive blitzes to try and take advantage of the relative inexperience that the Saints have in the inside, and then, of course, the relative inexperience of Teddy Bridgewater, who certainly doesn't have the starting experience that a guy like Drew Brees would have.
I highlighted McCoy as a player that certainly Seattle might be looking at trying to exploit there a little bit as a pass rusher, especially if Puna Ford is back. Sounds like he's itching to play. There, he's been limited the last couple days, but certainly has a chance to play in this football game. That'd be a big lift. Quentin Jefferson's been rushing really well from the interior as well. So they've got the guys to maybe be able to get some interior pressure on Bridgewater or if Taysom Hill's in the lineup, depending what the Saints choose to do. One other big matchup that I'm highlighting here, you can't look at the Saints offense without highlighting Alvin Kamara, one of the best playmakers in the NFL at any position. The Seahawks have been relying a lot on their 4-3 defense, getting all three of their star linebackers on the field. That means there's going to be opportunities for Kamara to end up against Michael Kendricks and maybe KJ Wright. I would assume Kendricks is going to be handling those duties most of the time, because at this stage of KJ Wright's career, maybe he has lost a step. His instincts still allow him to be a very good player, but Michael Kendricks, a better matchup there, but that is still something that Sean Payton is going to be trying to set up. He wants that matchup to get his speedy, athletic, dynamic running back against Kendricks, and maybe they'll get some wheel route action there. And Kamara also can be lined up outside as a receiver. In those cases, I think Seattle, they need to consider going into their nickel defense so they can get a defensive back against him, because you can't ask Michael Kendricks in that case to try to defend against Kamara with his ability to make plays downfield. So to me, that is one of the biggest matchups that I'm really intrigued to watch. I want to see how Seattle defensively handles trying to defend him.
Yeah, I think that this is almost like those old SportsCenter commercials. You know, and Dan Patrick used to say, you know, the guy is simply in fuego, and you can't stop him. You only hope to contain him. I mean, Alvin Kamara is just a different level. I mean, he is a guy who is such a dynamic athlete, as you explained there very well. He is one of those guys who can not only be the runner but also a terrific receiver. So I think that Seattle has the best linebacking core in the entire NFL. And yet I still believe that they should strongly be considering some double teaming with Kamara. Just about every other player on that team, I think that you have to allow, or you have to try and force the Saints to beat you with them, whether it be Michael Thomas, whether it be Ted Ginn, whether it be over the top with a tight end like Jared Cook, whatever. But if you let Alvin Kamara beat you, then it's just because of the fact that he is that dynamic, and therefore he deserves that much respect.
One other matchup that's going to be worth watching here from Seattle's offensive perspective, I'm really excited to watch Metcalf and Tyler Lockett go up against Marshawn Lattimore and Eli Apple. You've got a lot of first and second round star power there in that receiver versus corner matchup. Obviously, Apple didn't work out in New York, but seems like he's turned things around to an extent with the Saints. Lattimore had a great rookie season, and then he's been off to kind of an up and down start here in 2019, but certainly a very talented corner, and he may be asked to go against Metcalf in this game. They're going to have to pick their poison with the two receivers. Do we want Lattimore on the bigger bodied Metcalf, or do we want him on the speedy Lockett? And I think there could be some opportunities, if the pass protection's there, that they could take a few shots downfield in this football game.
Well, I absolutely agree. I think that there is a scenario in which I think this is a little bit of a shootout, but at the same time, the Saints, as you mentioned before, leading the NFL in sacks. The two corners, Lattimore and Apple, are dynamic athletes, both former Ohio State Buckeyes who just wowed people there with their just raw athletic ability, very much justifying where they were selected in the draft. So in terms of just pure athlete on athlete, yeah, I think that the possibility of Seattle's linebackers against Kamara and then those defensive backs against Seattle's receivers specifically, those are the ones that are going to make you want to have a bunch of popcorn and just sit back and watch, because truly – elite athletes going up against each other in schemes that are perfectly suited to their individual talents.
Coming up next in the third quarter, it's time to construct our weekly game plan for a Seahawks victory. So get your notebooks out, or if you're a tech person, get your tablets ready. We're going to be dishing the intel here in a short moment. We'll be right back on the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Before we move forward, let's talk about sex. Good sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go and you could increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed? Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform, it's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code LOCKEDON to try for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Welcome back to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I'm your host, Corbin Smith, alongside Rob Rang. Sunday's Week 3 battle at CenturyLink Field is rapidly approaching. Rob, let's put our coaching hats on for this quarter. It's time to game plan for a motivated Saints squad that isn't going to just wilt up and die without Drew Brees. This is still a very good team with a lot of talent, and they may have the best backup quarterback situation in the league. Obviously, never ideal circumstances losing a player like Brees, but they are well-suited to continue being a solid football team that can win games. So looking at the Seahawks on the offensive side of the football, what's the first thing that you think has to happen for them to pick up the victory here on Sunday?
Well, my answer on this one, Corbin, is going to sound like a broken record, but I think establishing the run is always critical. And so it's not just the fact that you're trying to run the football and set up your play action passing, but it's also controlling the pace of the game. As you mentioned, and I think very accurately, that Teddy Bridgewater might just be the best backup quarterback in the NFL. And I certainly believe that the New Orleans Saints are a legitimate Super Bowl contender with Drew Brees. I thought they were the best team in the league a year ago, and I was shocked when they did not wind up playing in the Super Bowl. I thought they were very close to that 2 years ago, and I thought that entering this season, that they would absolutely be one of the elite teams in the league. And, of course, Drew Brees is going to come back this season. And so, I still believe that they are in that mindset. Teddy Bridgewater does have the accuracy to absolutely, basically work his way down the field. He just doesn't have the big monster arm to throw over the top that Breeze has demonstrated. So to me, what you can do to kind of control that is to, again, run the football, eliminate as many possible possessions for the New Orleans Saints, because Teddy Bridgewater can get hot too. And the Saints, as we talked about in the second quarter, with Michael Thomas, Ted Ginn, and certainly Alvin Kamara, have the ammunition to light up that scoreboard.
The one thing that I want to add to your argument for getting that run game rolling, just look at the Saints, their first two games of the season, without having Sheldon Rankins in the lineup. They gave up almost 8 yards per carry to the Houston Texans in that season opener. They had a lot of trouble stopping Deshaun Watson running the football, too. So I think this is a game that the Seahawks, I know they don't want Russell Wilson running a bunch, but I think this is a game you've got to bust out a little bit more of the read option look and see if you can get some opportunities where he can run the football. And you know he's going to be smart about getting down. Hopefully his slide's better on the turf than what it was last week in Pittsburgh. But certainly I think that could be a big factor in this game, because the Saints had a lot of trouble with that a couple weeks ago. They gave up a few big runs against the Rams last weekend as well. They were much better than week one, but certainly that is a run defense that can be exposed. And I actually think the quick passing game they had last week, there are going to be weeks where that downfield passing game that Pete Carroll wants, that they're going to be able to do. But I think this is a game, when you consider the edge rushers that the Saints have mentioned in the second quarter, some of those guys, Davenport, Jordan Hendrickson, you can get your receivers open in the quick passing game, and that comes down to scheming from Brian Schottenheimer. Scheme these guys open. He showed last week that he can do that, and allow Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, David Moore, one of the big X factors in this game coming back from injury. He's a guy that can create a lot of yardage after the catch as well. He hasn't been able to get a lot of opportunities, a lot of downfield throws for him, but I think he's a guy, you look at that powerful lower body that he's got, he kind of runs like a running back after the catch. I could see him coming back this first game and having a significant impact on those quick pass plays, get the ball to him and let him go to work. This is a Saints team that last week, just ask Cooper Kupp, they really struggled to tackle downfield last week against the Rams. The Seahawks can take advantage of that this week with the athletes that they have on the outside.
No, well put, my friend. I think that's exactly what I think the Seahawks is going to look to do. I think they are going to be trying to run the ball. You know, as we talked about before, I think they're going to be using some of those quick passes, because you're going to try to mitigate New Orleans Saints, pass rush. The fact that the Saints have the athletes that they have at the cornerback position, and while they're great athletes, they're also both gamblers. Eli Apple and Marshawn Lattimore are guys who are ball hawks. They want the interception, but they also are going to bite on some throws. So if you throw a lot of those quick passes and then you set up the deep ball over the top, then I think that's a way that you can potentially, exploit New Orleans' aggressiveness. And so that's something that I think that you can expect. And then the fact that you mentioned David Moore, I think a lot of us were surprised when Malik Turner had the impact that he had a week ago. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if David Moore specifically is that next receiver to kind of make a big play that's going to try to help Seattle's offense, but also to put that film out there for all the other defensive coordinators, in the future, one more guy on Seattle's offense that you have to focus in on. So that is something to keep in mind, not just DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, of course, but who is the third receiver? And so that would absolutely be part of my game plan, would be to figure out exactly who I would want to target in this way, because Disley and because Malik Turner, had their splashy performances already. Who's that next guy? I think that it could be a David Moore, or I've mentioned him before. I think the CJ Pro size is about ready to explode on somebody. To me, New Orleans linebackers, because of a lack of speed in some cases and a lack of experience in others, I think New Orleans linebackers are potentially vulnerable to some play action passing to their running backs, some of those wheel routes to their running backs as well.
You beat me to the punch on that one. I was going to quickly say, I do think this is a game where receiver or running backs out of the backfield on Seattle side could actually work to their advantage, whether that's Carson Penny, but Procise certainly the best receiver of those three guys with his ability to also move outside. I could see him having a bigger impact on this game plan than he's had the first 2 weeks. Now let's swing to the defensive side of the football for Seattle. They obviously don't have Drew Brees on the other side, but you can't get complacent because Teddy Bridgewater is a really solid backup that has starting experience, could start for a number of teams right now. To me, you still want to put the game on his shoulders, though. The best thing you can do against a backup quarterback that hasn't had a ton of snaps recently is to take away that run game, especially when you get somebody like Alvin Kamara that's such a dynamite player out of the backfield. If you can find a way to limit his damage as a ball carrier, as well as Latavius Murray, they get a nice little 1-2 punch there between those two guys. But if you can take that run game away, it makes it much easier on your defense to be able to pin its ears back, go after Teddy Bridgewater, and maybe even mix in some of those blitzes as you mentioned earlier. I think this is a game you can rattle Bridgewater a little bit if you can send Michael Kendricks. Bobby Wagner's an excellent blitzer from the middle. Maybe this is a game even that you could throw Shaquem Griffin in there for a few reps and just say, go after him, go get the quarterback. I could see this being a game where Ken Norton Jr. is a little bit more aggressive in that regard.
Yeah, and interesting, mentioning Shaquem Griffin, I think that is a possibility. I wouldn't be surprised if Seattle does try some different personnel options to try to rattle Teddy Bridgewater. Now, we've talked before, you know, just – kind of, you know, revering Bridgewater's toughness, his intelligence. He is an accurate quarterback. He's not the most mobile quarterback. He is a little bit more like Drew Brees in that regard than maybe some people might anticipate. And so the key with him is not so much getting the sacks. I'm not so sure that Seattle's going to have a big sack game, as specifically because of the tackles I mentioned before. I've just been so very impressed by them. But I do think if you can get Teddy Bridgewater off of his spot to kind of steal Pete Carroll's line, then I think that you can make him a much less efficient and functional quarterback. And I think that the way you do that is you're going to have to try and blanket those receivers and those running backs in the short game and see if he can make you, if he can beat you over the top. I don't know that Teddy Bridgewater can do that. If he is being asked to do that, that is going to give Seattle's pass rushers more opportunities to get home. And that's one of the concerns everybody had about Teddy Bridgewater and came out of Louisville is physically he has kind of a slight frame. If you hit him in the mouth a couple of times, this is a guy who's unfortunately for him has struggled with injuries, but that's not so unfortunate if you're from a Seahawks perspective.
Now, looking at the receivers that Bridgewater's got, you mentioned Ted Ginn earlier, his ability to take the top off a defense, even though he's now been in the league for quite some time, still has really good speed, and he can beat you vertically. Michael Thomas is still the featured receiver here, though. This is a guy that's put up huge numbers since coming out of Ohio State, one of the best receivers in the NFL. I look at this a little different than some people do. I'm going to actually bust out a college basketball example here. Shaquille O'Neal, when he played at LSU, they were playing Indiana. I forget the exact year, but Bob Knight basically said, we're going to let Shaquille O'Neal get his points, but we're going to erase everyone else. And it worked. Indiana ended up beating them. I think when you look at how the NFL functions, that is not the right strategy with a player like Michael Thomas. Just look at what Bill Belichick has done over the years. He's always looking to take away your best player or two as much as possible and let the other receivers beat you. I think the Seahawks have to do that in this football game. You cannot let Michael Thomas, if he goes out and has 15 receptions and just kills you and you had double bracket coverage on him, you know what? It just wasn't meant to be your game and Teddy Bridgewater was firing on all cylinders. But I would try as much as I could to get double coverage on him. Let the other receivers beat you. Force them to do that because I think there's a big drop-off from Michael Thomas down to the rest of the guys they've got at Teddy Bridgewater's disposal.
I think it's a really valid point. For my money, I would be focusing on stopping Kamara first. Michael Thomas is a terrific player. I just have enough faith that in Seattle's corners on the outside, whether it be Trey Flowers or Shaquille Griffin, that they can handle him, not necessarily one-on-one, because he's certainly going to win his battles. But I want to make Teddy Bridgewater make those longer throws rather than the shorter throws to Kamara, who, in my opinion, is a little bit shiftier, is more likely to make one defender miss and has the speed to run away. Michael Thomas, again, is a terrific player. And if Seattle was fortunate, then neither one of those players are going to go off. But if I had to pick one or the other, I would be focusing on trying to slow down Kamara and make Teddy Bridgewater make those longer throws that I think are just inherently more risky. And I think that would put Seattle in a little bit better position to succeed.
Excellent points there. I think both of us have decent arguments. This is what you deal with, though, when you're a defensive coordinator and a defensive head coach like Pete Carroll, and you're trying to game plan for a team like this that has two of the best playmakers in the sport in Kamara and Thomas. I mean, these two guys are both just phenomenal talents. And so trying to take both of them away, that's pretty tricky. You've got to try to figure out which one you want to prioritize. And I think you can make an argument for both of them. That's how good both these players are. It's going to be really interesting to see what the Seahawks choose to do, especially with Kamara, as I mentioned earlier. I'm curious to see how much they play their base defense. Maybe they'll play it more against backup quarterbacks than they would have done against Drew Brees. Maybe that does alter their game plan a little bit. There's also the Taysom Hill factor. If he gets some snaps in there, a much different style quarterback that you have to be prepared to defend against read option and quarterback keepers and stuff, and he can be a monster in that regard. So that may complicate things a little bit too, but going to be an interesting game. Don't dismiss this Saints team. I've mentioned this several times this week. This is a really talented team on both sides of the football. They're well coached. They're going to come looking to win this football game. This is not a game they're going to roll over. If Seattle gets a quick couple scores, maybe that changes a little bit for this game, but I don't see that happening. Just too many prideful veterans on this football team, too good of a coaching staff. They're not going to do that. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at CorbinSmithNFL. You can follow Rob at Rob Rang. If you'd like to be a featured sponsor on the Locked On Seahawks podcast, you can contact me, LockedSeahawks@gmail.com. Make sure to subscribe to our show, whether it's iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, whatever your preferred podcast platform is, by visiting our website, LockedOnSeahawks.com. When we come back on Monday, Rob and I will be answering your mailbag questions and, of course, breaking down everything we saw in Sunday's game between the Seahawks and Saints. Enjoy your weekend. Go Hawks.